I think I don't look like a traditional, like what you think of as a business person or an entrepreneur. Like I'm black, I'm queer, I got a lot of like others, I'm a woman. And so it's useful sometimes for me to like walk in the room and like drop some accolades on the table to like move the conversation to be like, we're not going to underestimate me and like, let's get going with the meeting now. If you were going to not take me seriously, like now we've moved
now
to
Now you don't have to. Now you just know that you should.
I have helped you out.
Yeah.
And you now can, like, we can proceed with the conversation.
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss?
Bossy.
Okay, so I'm excited because today we're going to talk about the Forbes 30 under 30 list, like all of these lists that you can be on to get accolades for being an amazing business person and entrepreneur. We're going to talk about the list.
That's right. We're going to talk about the process of getting nominated. We're going to talk about why these lists are controversial, the benefits of being on them beyond just boosting your ego, which is what I'm primarily concerned with, if I'm being honest, and then also using your ego productively to drive your business forward. Ego has a very negative connotation, so I think we're going to talk about, is there a positive spin? Is there a productive spin that we can put on ego? So, Tara, you've been on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, so I would love if we could start by talking about just your experience of getting nominated, because it's kind of a black box.
Interesting. What does black box mean? Like, you can't see how it works?
Yeah, like, I think there's a lot of confusion and a lot of kind of questions in this arena of, like, how does someone get on it? I know whenever I see people talking about it on Reddit, it's like, oh, well, it's just pay to play. People are just paying to get on the list. And that's not really reflective of, like, the people that I know who have been on it and how they say it's happened. So,
yeah, I don't know anyone who's paid to do it. I certainly didn't pay to be on the list. But it also was not like, oh, it just happened, Samira.
Right.
Like, I think when I was starting as an entrepreneur, I thought people get accolades, they get articles, they get lists, they get speaking engagements because people just invite them, they find them, they get discovered, and like it happens perfectly. And that is not the reality of how any of these things work. Like, you put your hat in the ring. And I think I first learned this even before I was on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. I first learned this when I did a TEDx talk and I was seeing people do it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, they got like selected. And I realized, like, oh no, they just went to the website and they like submitted their talk. Like, that's how you got on to, that's how you get things.
That's interesting. I didn't know that either about TED.
Yeah.
That you just submit your talk.
So TEDx is certainly
TEDx.
Like that. Yeah. And so I submitted my talk and then I found the organizer and I sent them an email. I was direct. I did a thing. And so with Forbes 30 Under 30, I remember, like, I was year after year seeing all of my friends on the list. And I was just, like, starting to feel worse and worse about myself. That's where I was. I remember even, like, because at the same time, too, some people that I knew were on cover of Black Enterprise. Like, it was just, like, everywhere. Like, all of my friends were on all the magazines, and I was not on many. And that's actually not true. I was on some. Maybe I just wasn't on the cover. I wasn't on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. So I was, like, there were some articles being written about me. I then was, like, okay, I am, by the time I got 29, okay, by the time I got 29.
That's where we're at now, people. Time
you're 29?
Is ticking. Yep.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, all right, what you gonna do about it, girl? What are you gonna do?
Mm.
Are you gonna do a thing? And I know that, like, you can go look publicly on the website. You can nominate yourself. That's a thing that you can do. And so I was like, all right, time for a courage activity. Sometimes I do these, like, courage activities
courage
where
activity.
I, like, take a thing I'm terrified to do, sit down, close your eyes, do it. Just, like, do a spurt. And so I made a list of the people that I knew who were on the list, because you can nominate yourself or you can have other people nominate you.
Okay.
So I was planning to nominate myself. That was, like, part of my courage activity, just, like, throw your hat in the ring. And also I was going to have other people nominate me. So I made a list. And the list was actually pretty long. Like, there were at least 10 people I knew that had been on this
so
list.
So you're just going back through old Forbes 30 Under 30 list.
Page by
going,
page.
Who do I know here?
Yep.
Who could I reach out to?
Who do I know? Yep.
Okay. And is that a big piece of it, of getting nominated by former people who were received the award?
100%.
Okay.
100%. So if you can be nominated by someone who's on the list, if you know someone,
yes,
it makes a huge, huge difference. In fact, every year I get an email, now that I'm on the list, that says, like, who do you want to nominate? Who do you know? And it's an active outreach thing for alumni to, like, nominate people. So like that's part of the machine and how it works. So what I did was I sent emails to these people and I printed out the email that I wrote. So like if you guys want the playbook.
Like, what did you say?
What exactly said? Okay, so this email I'm particularly looking at is to Wade Foster. He's the CEO of Zapier. He's like a mentor and friend. And so it says, "Hi Wade, I'd love 15 minutes of your help this week. Forbes has opened nominations for their 30 under 30 list. I've learned in my career that the best thing to do is put your hat in the ring. Quote unquote. I'd love to be on the list this year. Dot dot dot. So this is me doing that. Exclamation point. All the like cute doing the most. I remember seeing you on the list in 2017 and being so inspired. Would you be willing to submit a nomination for me this weekend on or before August 26th? Link to submit. Here's the link."
Okay. And did you have to give them any other information? Because I imagine this submit, it's like when someone asks you to write a recommendation letter.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. And, you know, sometimes people will be like, oh, I'll just write it for you and you can sign it. Or I'll give you bullet points and messaging that you can use. So that I'm not basically giving you a chore. I'm not giving you homework.
Yeah. Or like when someone asks you to introduce you to someone and you don't offer to like write the email for them that they can like modify. I think that's so rude, by the way. I think that's like an ultimate like business no-no.
I've learned that in the last year, actually. And I'm kind of embarrassed now for all the times that I've.
You were just like, introduce me. You do all the work.
Yeah. Or like, hey, would you mind?
Yeah. So like the answer to that is like, yeah, like, would you introduce me? I'll send you the email that you can forward. I'll send you a forwardable, right?
Forwardable email.
So definitely I did that. So underneath the email, I have like information you'll need, colon. And then I wrote all the, like I went through the application and all the questions and wrote answers to all of them for him. So you can like copy and paste.
Third person bragging montage. I love it.
Third person bragging montage. But I was like, girl, you're going to feel bad for yourself some more for not being on this list. Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
What you going
to
do?
So you said that you reached out to multiple people. We've kind of already confirmed that getting nominated by people who are on the list is a really strategic and strong way. Do you think that there's a tipping point where it starts to feel spammy? I have heard from other people that, like, you don't want too many people to nominate you because then you look thirsty and it's, like, obvious. Yeah. So was that your experience? Do you have a memory of, like, how many people nominated you?
I don't know how many people nominated me. I know how many people I asked.
Okay.
But let's just assume that a fraction of the people that you ask are going to actually do the thing.
Yeah.
They're going to remember, oops, sorry, I forgot. Like, this is not a high priority thing for someone to do. So I think I asked more people than I expected to do it. Okay. I think I probably asked most of my list.
Wow.
And like half the people like didn't reply to me, and some people replied, and I bet like half of those people actually remember to do it by the deadline. So I don't know that this is sort of like kind of like sales, right? It's like a numbers game. So I don't really know that I was worried about too many people.
Okay.
I was worried about making sure that like I talked to everybody that I could, and it's not like I knew like a million people on the list. Like I think I knew a lot and I wasn't really worried about that.
I do want to talk about that more, but okay.
You know people on the list?
Yeah, I would say I know a handful. I don't think I know.
That's all you need.
You likely knew more than I do now, but I can think of probably like five off the top of my head that would probably be willing to help me out.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's kind of an interesting like facet of this, which is that what if you don't? What if you don't know anybody?
Yeah.
Are you just nominating yourself and, like, hoping for the best?
Yeah, I think you should nominate yourself, 100%.
Okay.
I also think it's worthwhile to, like, do a plan and advance strategy. Like, you can go meet people who are on the list and go, like, reach out to them, befriend them, contact them, like, have like, conversations with them. Like, I reach out to people on LinkedIn that I'm interested in meeting and talking to frequently.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, can I pick your brain, which is, like, the world's worst thing you could possibly say to a business person or someone like that. But yeah, so I think if you don't know anyone, you nominate yourself. But I think that Forbes 30 Under 30 is a game of who you know. So if you are not willing to play the who you know game and go get yourself in some of the rooms of people that you might have relationships with, then you're not playing. Like, there's no point in being on the list. This is not a meritocracy list. That is not what the game is at all. This is a how well did you play the people you know and are in the room with game.
It kind of reminds me of the way people talk about getting an MBA. It's like, it's not about getting straight A's. You're there to network, or you're like, the whole value of it is in the people that you're going to meet. But yeah. Do you think that it's worth it then? If it's not a meritocracy, if it's just kind of about who you know, if it's just an accolade, then like, what value has it given to you now?
I think it's worth it to people. It has high value perception for people who are not on the list. And once you're on the list, no one cares. Okay. Like, it kind of occurs to me, like I went to an Ivy League school, I went to Columbia, like, there's a kind of, like, a culture underlining, like, a lot of people get, like, really, like, rah-rah about their school. There's kind of, like, this underlining, like, we don't rah.
We're the Ivies.
We just chill about it. You don't rah about it. You just kind of play it cool. And so, like, no one who's on Forbes 30 under 30 is talking to other people on Forbes 30 under 30 and, like, riling up about, like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, that's not really a thing. But people who are not on the list are very impressed by it. And I think it works well for me, particularly, like, around that time in my career, too. Like, it worked to help. I think I don't look like a traditional, like, what you think of as a business person or an entrepreneur. Like, I'm black, I'm queer, I got a lot of, like, others. I'm a woman. And so it's useful sometimes for me to, like, walk in the room and, like, drop some accolades on the table to, like, move the conversation to be like, we're not going to underestimate me, and, like, let's get going with the meeting now.
So it lends the legitimacy that you fear that you otherwise might not be able to just garner immediately because you don't look the way that people are expecting you.
Yeah, so I'll use things like that, like, in my email subject line and sort of like list a couple things like where it's like the signature. So it's good for that, right? Like CEO of Forbes 30 under 30. Mm. It's good at like if you were going to not take me seriously, like now we've moved.
Now
to
you don't have to. Now you just know that you should.
I have helped you out.
Yeah.
And you now can like we can proceed with the conversation.
And now for a quick word from our presenting sponsors. An office space should inspire you, and you can't do your best work unless your office is outfitted and equipped. That's where Walmart Business comes in. They've got everything you need to set your workplace up for success and help you build your empire. From office essentials like pens and staplers to the real non-negotiables like lighting that won't hurt your eyes and all the non-dairy milk choices your team requires for their morning coffee. And when your schedule's too full to squeeze in errands, don't worry. With Walmart Business, you can choose between shipping, pickup, or delivery from store as fast as the exact same day. It feels good to have options. Get all the things you need at the low prices you love when you visit business.walmart.com. That's business.walmart.com. Okay, back to the show.
I think a lot of people sometimes think that that's, like, a sad thing. I don't have, like, that feeling towards it. Like, oh, it's sad that you have to do that. And, like, that's the state of the world. I generally don't have that feeling, though. Like, I'm like, that's the game. This is the game we're playing. I think I have been aware of the game and playing the game of, like, how you move up and how you kind of create these different social roles. Like, this is actually a game that's really important to my mother. My mom loves this kind of stuff. And so, like, we were like, get the binder out. We're preparing to be at the most competitive middle school so we can get in the most competitive high school so we can be in front of all of the college recruiters that we want so that we can go to, like, the right school. And so my mom had, like, the list of, like, colleges, and she put a line under USC, which was, like, number 26 at the time. And she's like, anything and above. So, like, we've been, like, my family kind of strategy is like your job is to do more than me. I did. That's your main job.
How do you think that that's influenced you now? I mean, do you have to separate yourself from that now? Because it occurs to me, knowing you now, that prestige and accolades and everyone thinking super highly of you is not really like a core value of yours anymore that you really chose. Like, I think you have an artist's soul and you are very into self-expression and things that are not, you know, institutional approval and prestige.
Yeah, I think I'm just still climbing, but I'm doing it in the next level of ways. Because after you get, like, societal conforming, after you get high performance, because high performance is not really societal conforming. You have to, like, do something. You have to zig to get, like, high performance entrepreneurship, for example. And then after that comes, like, self-expression and art. So I think I'm still doing the climbing thing. It's just that's what happens after you hit, like, most of my friends who, like, hit all the accolades, well, the least mentally healthy, stable ones, like the ones that have done, like, the least work on themselves, they're still trying to, like, bang their head on the head of, like, more accolade, more accolade, more accolade. After the ones that have, like, hit a lot of those accolades and have done work on themselves, they're just, like, working on other things. Like, I just want to make art. I want to express myself. But that's still working towards the thing that you want to like accomplish.
So I want to make sure that I understand that. It's that you think that once you achieve those benchmarks of success, then you have the freedom to go and, or that those things are a prerequisite for being able to walk down that path.
They're not a prerequisite. I just think that if you want to keep expanding,
okay,
and you don't want to be like Elon Musk, for example, who is like hit a lot of like accolades, accomplishments, and is still like in this like,
you're like, why are you so thirsty?
Why are you still
trying to get all your little tweets off, Elon? Why do you care?
Why are you still working on
whose approval are you seeking?
Yeah, like why are you still working on the same kindergarten goals? Is how it occurs to me. Like you still on kindergarten. Yeah. You should be in fifth grade by now. Like that's how I look at Elon in terms of like the things that like you're working
like
towards.
Emotional maturity.
You should emote from an emotional maturity perspective. So yeah.
So I think
that I've gotten a lot out of being on the list, because mainly in that way of like moving the conversation forward.
I would like to be on it, I think, for a similar reason, but it also, as I think about my own reasoning, I just look at other women in my space who I consider peers who have been on it. And so it feels like an insufficiency on my part for having not gotten on it, but it's only in the last, frankly, like 6 months that I've realized that, oh, this isn't a selection. This isn't a committee of people scouring the internet for the best talent and then plucking them out of obscurity and putting them on this list. It's like, no, there's a whole apparatus behind this that to your point about playing the game. I'm like, oh, okay, so there's some participation required from my end. So I think a couple questions that would be helpful to go through. Categorically speaking, I think there might be a perception that Forbes 30 under 30, maybe because of the name, is only 30 people, but it's
not.
30 people in like 30 different categories. There are hundreds of people that get on this list every year based on the category. And so I'm not sure even what category I should put in my crosshairs as the one that I'm targeting. So there's like education, there's finance, there's social media, there's media. I'm like, okay, as I'm scanning the horizon, what's your advice for picking a category to target?
I think that there are some categories that are way more competitive than others. Like there's some categories that are just straight celebrities. Like I think media has just like, it's a lot of celebrities. Are a lot of people that you know in media?
A lot of the ones that I know are in social media.
They work in social media.
No, the category.
The category is social media.
Yeah, they're actually different. I don't know if they've always been different, but at least in the last 2 years, social media is its own category.
I would bet it's pretty competitive too, no?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to gauge is, and maybe you are looking at the lists for level of celebrity and recognizability to determine which category seems like it would be harder to break into based on who's on these lists already.
Yeah. I did think about that. So like there's usually more than one category the way that you can go into the way that they have this organized. I was on the education list mainly because like I run an ed tech business, but I could have gone on tech as well. But tech is way more competitive.
A lot harder, yeah.
And also, no one asks or knows which segment of the list were you on.
Right. Like most people don't even know that there are different segments.
They don't even know that that's a thing. So it's really irrelevant, right? There was also like social impact, because like a lot of the work that we do is like we help people who are not traditionally served and like in tech and in roles in tech jump into tech. And so like there are a lot of different places we could go in. And so like that was what I chose to. I think you have to pick one. I wasn't trying to like go for the most competitive category for no reason.
Right. Okay, so that's really interesting. I'm gravitating toward media because while I do have a social media platform, I think between the podcast and the newsletter and the book, I'm like, I feel like media just resonates a little bit more.
And you know people there.
Than going for alumni. The social media category.
Yeah.
I do wonder, too, though, like, it seems like the nominations are pretty straightforwardly how this happens. But I think about some of the people that have been famously on the list in the past or where it stirred up a lot of controversy, like Kylie Jenner as the youngest self-made billionaire, and she's on this list. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't really picture Kris Jenner sitting in Calabasas being like, this morning I'm going to nominate Kylie for Forbes 30 Under 30. It's like, some of these people have to be picked, right? Like, they're not nominating themselves. It doesn't occur to me that, that Kris Jenner would care about this, or that Kylie Jenner is sitting there in her Lamborghini being like, you know what I really would like to do?
No, so, I think 1,000% the press and PR team has it on their list of something that they're going to do this year. I think 100% the PR team does that. Now, they may not fill out the form. Kylie Jenner's team may not fill out the form online. They may just make a call. But, like, that as a goal, right? Because all you're trying to do is trying to get to, there is a selection group, right? So they go through all the nominations, but they kind of stack rank them for people who got referred in. Those are at the top. So you can get at the top, I'm sure, with a phone call. That's probably a next level of that game. I don't have that phone call access, but I could have people to ask.
The PR team.
The PR, yeah. But I think a lot of people's PR teams, like even like folks that we probably know, entrepreneurs that we know, their PR teams do it too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had to have those connections who like know the editors at Forbes magazine who they can call. There's another list like this, Forbes top creators list. That's what that one's new. And that one's only about creators, content creators. And in some ways, I'm like, I'd almost rather be on that one. But that list is a little bit, I assume it kind of works the same way because it's the same underlying enterprise that's running these. But it's funny because that one is less, there's like less notability because it's newer and it's
do
more segmented.
Do them all. Land what lands. Put them all in your bio. Like, you might as well. Like, I think part of the experience that you're seeking, that maybe you don't even know that you're seeking, is, like, this experience of getting on all the lists and being like, oh, this was it?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important experience for you to have in your own growth. And, like, as we know, a lot of entrepreneurs who are really accomplished, like, a lot of entrepreneurs who are listening to this right now, they're also really accomplished. Like, part of the experience is, like, the goal that you had, there's, like, a past you who, like, the life you live right now, this was their goal. And then there's another goal, and then there's another goal. And at some point, you kind of realize, like, oh, wait.
What am I
like
chasing?
It's not about, like, the consecutive goals, but you have to chase consecutive goals to have that moment to, like, wait a minute. This is, like, not what it's about. So I think it's worthwhile for you to do for that.
I agree. I am very conscious of my own need for external validation.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think it's an interesting experiment of like, well, then go for it and see what happens. So to clear it up once and for all, though, you don't have to pay to get on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list.
No.
This is a rumor, and it's about who you know.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's paid.
We'll be right back to the conversation after a quick break. Okay, back to the show. In some ways, do you think that this is, I mean, a lot of the world is nepotism, but does this also in some ways feel like that to you? Because I think I look at these lists now, even just knowing this, and I'm a little less impressed by them because now I know the machinery underneath works. And I'm like, oh, so you weren't plucked from obscurity by some editor who thought your work was really good. You just knew four people that were on it last year.
Who's plucked from obscurity by some, like, that's not really how most things work at all.
I know, and right? I think that that's an important revelation to have if you are an external validation seeker.
Yeah.
Of, like, it's not a meritocracy.
Yes, but this is why these lists, is what I was saying earlier, is that these lists, it's useful because other people think it's good. People who are not on the list think it's so cool, and it really only works for people who are not on the list. If I say Forbes 30 Under 30 to someone who's on the 30 Under 30 list, it's kind of whack.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of interested.
Like, why are you saying that you don't have any other accomplishments other than that? That's
so
your thing?
Interesting.
In fact, I started removing it from my bio because I started being a little bit embarrassed of it because I increasingly was in circles of people who, like, all of us are on it. So, like, what are we, like, you don't have anything else to say? Anything better that you're working on? You put in your bio?
Do you think that the same goes for things like going to an Ivy League school where the people that are there actually are not all that impressed by? It's like once you're in it and you kind of know that it's not that special or it's not a big deal or, you know, however you want to downplay these accomplishments or these achievements.
Yeah.
Do you think that that works the same way for other things or is it more so specific to this list? That's what I'm trying to suss out.
I think
it's like the list is not really worth it anyway. Or is that just how all institutional stamps of approval are once you're on the other side of them?
I think the more success you get in general, the more you realize like this is not a big deal.
Okay, well, tell us in the YouTube comments. I'm curious what y'all think, if this strikes you as nepotism, or if you're like, nah, that's just kind of how the world works, and this is just indicative of how the world works. So yes, you may not
or
have
both.
To pay to play, but
or both. It's nepotism and how the world
exactly.
works.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess tell me what you think. So yeah. I do think that there is an interesting. Okay, so we'll get a little meta here and zoom out to what Forbes as a business is doing with this list and
yeah.
how this is serving them.
Yes.
So pretty traditional media play here. The way that they are monetized, they make advertising revenue, they have subscription revenue, and then they have brand extensions. So taking that brand into real life, think like brand licensing, think conferences, things of that nature. And so it sounds like they are projecting that their subscription revenue is going to slow down over the next couple of years. I'm not sure what's informing them.
Yeah.
Of that projection.
Well, they're a magazine company, right? Like, I love magazines. So every time I go to the airport, like,
yeah.
I buy at least 10 magazines. I love magazines. I buy less of Forbes now, but I used to.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
So I subscribe. I mean, I have a print subscription to New York Magazine. I love reading that.
Yeah. So this is what they're talking
and
about, I think.
And New York Times. I mean, but like New York Times subscription revenue has gone up. Like, they're on the upswing. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to go down. But it sounds like because they are expecting theirs to, this 30 under 30 brand and this moniker, this franchise for them is the top revenue generator for Forbes. So it's really doing a lot for them. They have this like year-long digital media campaign. It drives like 6 million incremental web visitors per year. So people who were not there anyway, who are only going, it's probably just me every day just refreshing it, being like, when's the nominations?
When is it going to be me? When is it going to
yes.
be me?
When is it going to be me?
When are they just going to find me?
I'm like sitting here in my office like, hey guys, Katie here from Sacramento, California. And then they also have this like nominee community and they do these conferences and these like multi-year humongo advertising deals with sponsors for these conferences. Which, like, conferences can be a really big moneymaker.
Yeah.
They charge up to $9,000 per ticket for the 4-day in-person, like, 30 under 30 summits.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to any of the events?
Yeah, I went to one. I didn't pay to go to it as an attendee. So, in all fairness, I spoke on a panel at it.
And then I
immediately left because, like, I don't like big groups of people. I don't like people asking me. Like, I don't.
Oh, that surprises me about you. Okay.
No, I like small, intimate groups. I'm very, like, connected to other people's energy. Most people's energy is funky, so I don't want to be around you. So, yeah, I did go once. I spoke at a panel, like, a huge auditorium with what is her? Jenny's Ice Cream. I forget her.
Well, I assume her name's Jenny.
Her last name. Okay, anyway.
I don't know.
But so the panel was really good.
Okay.
The event was really nice. They had like a separate like Women's Day too.
Okay.
I thought they did a good job. It was cool. It was in like a really cool venue. It was in Detroit that year. So yeah, I went.
Okay, cool. So they make a lot of money from those. So it's interesting, yeah, like as a media company to kind of see how they've kind of made this thing that is now prestigious, at least to the vast majority of people who come into contact with it, maybe not
yeah.
so much once you're on it, and how you can kind of, as a media company, still create this, like, premier image around something that then brands want to advertise, and, like, the general public, maybe not the general public, but the entrepreneurial public, or the public, the high-achieving public, wants to be a part of and know about and be in the proximity of. So,
yeah, yeah.
Interesting model.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think there is a networking component of it too, because there's like a Slack channel that I'm in that I never really go into. But like, I think if I wanted to ask for something, or like if I wanted to direct message someone, maybe, actually, I don't even know that would be a good idea. I think it would just like find their email. But like, there's people are kind of communicating in there and sharing resources. But like, you know, so there's community components of like value add that they're giving to people who are on the list too.
Yeah, there is one piece of this too that, on the note of networking, that I kind of just thought of, but my friend Jack wrote this really nice piece that talks about how a lot of people think networking is kind of going out and trying to rub elbows with people who you think can help you. And that one layer above that is being like, well, let me help you first, and then you're going to help me. And he was like, really, the like level above that is just, if you're doing really cool stuff, and if you are like in your energy, then like you're going to kind of naturally start to come into contact with people who are also doing cool stuff if you're reaching out to them, and like they look at your stuff and they think you're cool too. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be this contrived transactional thing. It's like, and that's really how a lot of the founders and other writers that I am now friends with, it's because we had a mutual respect for one another's work. So there was like no question that we were gonna want to become friends and like get to know one another, because it wasn't like, hey, can you help me, like I'm looking up at you, like hey, please, you know, do something for me.
100%. I think the best way to network is to just do cool shit and talk publicly about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That is how this show happened.
Yeah.
Because like I was just doing my own cool shit and talking publicly about it, and you were doing your own cool shit and you posted about the show and like the idea for the show, and then someone who knew about both of the cool shit that we were doing was like, hey, you guys should talk in the mm-hmm. comments.
And then when I go to look into you, I'm like, oh, she's doing some cool shit. And it's like, oh, Forbes 30 under.
And you kind of like DM'd me, and the, like the conversation started. Like there wasn't like a, oh, let's go to a, I'm thinking about like a networking cocktail mixer.
Having
and I have my name tag on. The name
we both
tag.
Did the same thing.
Because you know that, because that's
that lanyard.
When you get out of college, that's what you think networking is. Like, oh, I'm going to go to the event and put my name tag, and I'm going to go just meet people with
yeah,
no aim. I'm
no
not going to look at the list of attendees and have a clear plan of like who I want to talk to and what I want to get out of it. I'm just going to go meet people. No.
No. I also think that there is a bit of an elephant in the room here with Forbes 30 Under 30, which is that they've now famously kind of had a few honorees that are like in federal prison because they were so blindly driven by their own ambition that it turned them into felons. And
yeah.
So there's like a cautionary tale element here too. So I think let's roll the clip of our felon montage.
The story of a young tech entrepreneur facing criminal charges now. 31-year-old is accused of fraud.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried arrested in the Bahamas, set to face a judge this morning.
Arresting Martin Shkreli. He's the pharmaceutical company CEO who achieved a lot of notoriety for hiking the price of a life-saving antiviral drug 5,000%.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. It can sometimes go awry. So they've kind of caught some heat for this. And I think it has damaged the... Like, they should be worried about this because this is damaging the prestige of their recommendations or their honorees.
I think that's right. It's interesting, too, because do you feel like a lot of people know about this scandal?
About those specific scandals? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that they know so, you know, directly the correlate or the relationship with the Forbes 30 Under 30 list.
Yeah.
But I do feel like these were huge public scandals.
Yeah, the 30 Under 30 connection. Because I think that there's circles of this. Because I think, like, if you are in a social circle that's right around 30 Under 30, you definitely know this rumor about this, which probably implies you know people connected to the list and connected to this machine, or who are like likely to be on the list sometime soon, or have like you have this sort of like connection to it. I don't know that like my mom or my grandma, for example, could tell you that the 30 Under 30 list is connect, like all those scandals are connected to those things. Like, I don't know that they have that specific connection.
Sure.
Maybe my mom does. But yeah, so like this really like kind of bubbled up pretty significantly in 2023. So Forbes came out with an article revoking the alumni privileges of like all those people we just talked about, and had this like hall of shame really of Forbes 30 Under 30. And so like they've really sort of acknowledged that they've had some like regrets about this. And, like, it's kind of like an issue.
We are sorry.
Yeah. But like, it's interesting to me. What's interesting to me about this is like, I think there is a correlation between the ego of wanting to be on a list, wanting to have accomplishments of it, and then like kind of flying a little bit too close to the sun.
Yeah, a little Icarus.
Like a little Icarus moment, right? Like those are the same addictive personality traits that are needed for entrepreneurship, because like it's hard to do entrepreneurship when you don't have a little bit of that addictive personality, right?
Yeah.
And so, or a little of that crazy, a little bit of that DeLulu lemon, as you call it. I learned this from you. Well, DeLulu delusional. And so like, it kind of brings up this question about like the ego that you need to get on the list, the ego that you need to be like a world influencer and to do big good things in the world, right? Because some of that is driven by ego. Like, is it bad? Is it good? Like, where's the line? Like, it kind of like brings up this question.
I agree. I think it's a fascinating topic too, you know, as it pertains to ego and also how it pertains to the idea that the things that are going to enable you to achieve the most or to even achieve and accomplish are verbs that I don't love using here, but to expand the most, we'll say, are often also, there's a darker side of all of that. Every good trait that you have has like an equal and opposite.
Yeah.
It's probably very closely connected to what you would consider your worst qualities. They're usually on the different sides of the same coin. So I'm curious, with ego specifically for you, as someone who's been on the list, who wanted to be on the list, who made a concerted effort to get on the list, how do you feel like you use ego productively? How do you make sure that you're not ending up as a cautionary tale of someone who took it way too far?
Or the other way, take it way too far. Like, I feel like over the years, I've developed less and less ego. Like, I think, like, I saw this quote, like, as the soul expands, like, the ego shrinks, right? I was having a conversation with my friend Danny, and we were talking about how, like, dang, remember when we had so much more ego and, like, business was so much easier? You had so much more ego. Because, like, the willingness to sit down and crank out some work that you don't really want to do because you might get an accolade for it. You might hit that revenue number, and everybody knows you hit that revenue number. You might get on that list. You might get the accolade. Your friends and family will be so proud. Like, that was a driving motivator. Yeah. And I think the less I care about that, the harder it is
it becomes
to get through stuff that I'm not really excited about. I'm like, why are we doing that?
Yeah. I would argue, though, that that's a good thing. I think that that's actually quite productive to get to that place. Like, that's where I think it transcends to healthy self-esteem, which is how I prefer to conceptualize of it, because I also have this idea of ego as something that's maybe a little, I mean, even if you look at like the Freudian definition of these things, it's a little bit, it's not truly who you are. It's like this, it's something kind of separate and apart from your true self. And I think the highs and lows of public opinion can be a real roller coaster, because the highs will feel so unbelievably euphoric when you feel like you're on top of it and people love what you're doing and you're just crushing it. But the lows are very deep valleys of despair, where if you are feeling as though you're kind of clocking L after L after L, they're very high. And so I think finding some sort of baseline is important. And for me, the only thing that really helps is only seeking respect from people that I respect. So if I receive a glowing, lovely review and it's anonymous and I don't know anything about this person, I want to sit there and feel it for a second and be like, let it resonate. But I don't want to take it to heart so much that the next time I get an anonymous negative review, that it just has the power to yank me down into the depths and make me question everything I've ever done. So I think now, years in, I think about art and what I'm making and my work as the most important thing is that I am proud of it and that I love it and that it feels really good to me.
Yeah.
And I almost can't care about the outcome after that. I can't care how it's received. I hope people like it because I'm still a human and I want people to like what I do. But if something really doesn't land for somebody, that has to be okay. It cannot be, other people's perceptions of what I'm doing cannot be the thing that gives me my self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's a losing proposition.
Yeah. I think the tricky part here, because like this is something that I think about too. Actually, I'm going to use that framing that you just came up with, which was like, if I respect their opinion, that's when I'm gonna like care, positive or negative, about their opinion. That's actually, I'm gonna use that, because sometimes, for example, like on our show, people will get really like up in arms about like an extravagant outfit that I wear, and like sometimes I feel kind of bummed about it, and then I'm like, oh wait, they just don't have access to art. They don't have reference points for art.
Oh,
so they're thinking
they don't
everything
get it.
They're like, everything should be functional. And like, if everything should be functional, then my outfits are just like really terrible. Like, I agree with that. But that's not necessarily an opinion that, like, I'm like, oh, I really, like, respect that person's opinion and how they see the world. Maybe I respect it, but it's totally different.
Yeah, Greg47986 on YouTube. You mean you're not upset that Greg46798 doesn't like your
but
fit?
But for a minute, it's hard.
Oh, absolutely.
You see those things.
I know.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Also love to hear, if you're willing to chat in the comments section of YouTube with us, do you have a personal aspiration of being on a list? It doesn't have to be like 30 under 30. There's all kinds of other lists. Someone has a 40 under 40 list.
Is that also Forbes? Or no,
it's not Forbes. There's other lists. There's the Inc. 5,000. Fortune has one. There's the Inc. 5,000 fastest growing companies list. Like, every magazine and, like, sort of business media company like that kind of has one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, superficiality aside, I think the legitimacy that you noted is maybe a woman of color, someone who feels like they are other in some sense from this kind of white male archetype. Yeah. I do think that it does lend some validity and legitimacy that does stair-step you beyond maybe those doubts and insecurities that someone might have when first interfacing with you know, unfairly so. But I think that that's actually a super valid point. So we're going to call it there. This is a wrap for this week's episode of Bossy, but I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. And maybe Tara will nominate me after this episode.
Of course. You better write that email for me, though.
I'm going to write that. Well, now that I've learned that that's something I should be doing, I will be doing that. Thank you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.